What got you into this business?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I actually, my partner and I, Chris and I.
Talk to me about how technology has shifted in your industry.
Yeah, so we, as I said earlier, we started as a direct mail company and we kind of fell into printing. And because we were doing work with the casinos at that time, in the early 2000s, one of the buzzwords was
one color, I get this price. If I use two colors, it costs more. How has digital printing transformed pricing in printing?
Yeah, it's a great question. So obviously, we are able to price things a lot more competitively because...
Welcome to South Haven Business Beat. Business and community leaders talk with us to provide invaluable resources to aid the business community.
Hey, real quick, before we start, I know most of you listening right now haven't actually hit that subscribe button yet. I get it, you're busy, but it only takes 2 seconds and it means you'll always have the best business stories and insights from South Haven waiting for you. So go ahead, tap it now, I'll wait. All right, now let's get started on today's episode.
Hello and welcome to another South Haven Business Beat. I'm Aaron Cosworth, and we're here today with Kush Shah from DirectFX. And you are in a printing business and a publishing business, and you're based right here in South Haven, Mississippi. So Kush, great to have you with us. Tell us just a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so thank you for allowing us to be here today. It's a great platform for us to, educate people a little bit more about our business and being right here in DeSoto County. One of the big goals we've had over the last few months in particular is just kind of get to know our neighbors.
Right.
So this is a great opportunity for that. DirectFX is a 22-year-old printing and direct mail company. So we actually started off as just a direct mail company, in 2003 and have slowly evolved into a full service commercial printing company. And now we have other divisions as well doing other things besides just regular print.
Got it.
As we continue to grow, we had clients that asked us, can you handle the printing for us? And so
sure.
at the time we didn't know anything about printing, all we did was direct mail,
right.
And mailers mailed and printers printed, and so once a couple of our bigger clients said, "Hey, can you handle the printing for us?" We said, "Sure, we'll figure it out," and that's kind of how we got into the printing business. So we quickly learned about what CMYK was and all the technicalities of the print business, which is very different than just being able to put an address on a postcard mailer. Our growth has kind of steadily continued that way. So a few years later, one of our clients asked us, "Hey, can you handle the signage for my event as well?" And said, "Sure." Didn't know anything about what to do with signage and found a partner to help us do the signage for that event. And next thing you know, we had a sign division, which has now become a pretty substantial part of our business. And then about a year ago, we actually have now gotten into the label printing business as well, which is an entirely different,
entirely different
segment in the print space.
Yes.
So Flexo Labels is a very, very large up and coming industry. Okay. And so we saw some opportunities there. And so we acquired a label printing company that we have now brought into our group of different divisions.
So it sounds to me like you service more than just DeSoto County, right?
Yeah. So we actually, our home office is here in DeSoto County, just up the road on State Line Road or Highway 51 and State Line Road. But we have a plant off of Elvis Presley, just about a mile up the road. That's where our sign division is. And then we've got a plant downtown Memphis. That's where our direct mail and digital printing happens. And then our newest addition is a label printing facility that's in Jonesboro, Arkansas.
Okay.
So we kind of have a presence in three states, right. All relatively close to each other.
And then your clients are national and
international? Yeah, we have more regional clients.
Okay.
I'd say our client reach is about 200 miles from Memphis, South Haven area. But a lot of them are national clients. So we are doing work and drop shipping to, anywhere in the country. Being obviously in the logistics hub, it makes it a little bit easier to be able to drop ship, mailers and other shipments as well. So.
Sure. you know, that's one of the things I tell people is when you travel around and people don't really have an association for Memphis, I said, well, everything that travels through anywhere travels through here.
That's right. That's
and exactly so, right. What got you into this business?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I actually, my partner and I, Chris and I, started this business in 2003. And before that, we both worked for a company called Pitney Bowes.
Okay.
That actually manufactured mailing equipment. Right. My first job straight out of college. He had had a couple other jobs before that. And we were on the other side of the business. We were actually selling the equipment to people that did large volumes of mail. And at that time, we learned very quickly, though we did pretty well at what we were doing, a lot of people did not want to deal with handling the mail themselves. Correct. And so we continued to keep losing deals to folks that just said, hey, you know, great proposal, but we're going to outsource this work instead. Right. So had a pretty bad day one day and came back to the office and said, Chris, you know, we should just open up our own mailing company. And the rest is history. So we kind of got to work on a business plan, you know, two young guys with no business experience, really, no money, really, but nothing to lose. And right. So that's kind of how we got into it. We wrote a business plan, and a small bank out of North Georgia kind of took a chance on us and gave us a $50,000 loan.
Yeah.
And that's really what got us going. At the time, we logistically decided to move to Memphis because we saw an opportunity to go after the business casino business in Tunica. A lot of the casinos down there had their own mail rooms and were doing a lot of their mail themselves. But we had kind of a formula for every square foot of space that was not occupied by a slot machine, the casinos are losing X number of dollars. And so that was kind of the mindset we went into it, was that go to these casinos, pitch them on the idea of outsourcing their mail and turn those mail rooms into slot rooms or gaming rooms, basically. And of course, we started the business and had no business experience. And so we got laughed out of our first couple of, you know, appointments that we had, but we, you know, kept at it. And eventually at one point we were doing mail for about five or six of the Tunica casinos at the same time. So it's become, you know, a big part of, you know, our story was being one of the leaders in the variable data printing that the casinos were doing at the time. So,
hey friends, Kristen here with a quick thank you to our sponsor, DeSoto Athletic Club. The DAC has been part of DeSoto County since 1999, and they've reimagined fitness. No one-size-fits-all memberships. At DAC, you're in control. From group fitness to recovery services, you pick what fits your lifestyle. All of it starting at just $24.99. Because fitness isn't just about a building, it's about building a better you. Learn more at DACSouthhaven.com. That's DACSouthhaven.com.
So talk to me about how technology has shifted in your industry.
Yeah, so we, as I said earlier, we started as a direct mail company and we kind of fell into printing. And because we were doing work with the casinos at that time, in the early 2000s, one of the buzzwords was variable data printing, meaning that every single mail piece could be customized to the individual. In order to be able to print variably, you could not print the traditional offset printing. Right. You had to have digital printing equipment. So when we got into the printing business, that was one of our separators, I guess, was that we invested in digital printing equipment that allowed us to do those customized mailings that the casinos really liked. And then, you know, as we continue to grow, there's still a fit and a need for that traditional printing, depending on size of the mail piece, the volume of the mailer, whatever it might be. And so we got into the offset printing business way later than most people. You know, most folks would go from offset into digital, and there was a lot of resistance. So people that were in the offset printing business kind of were trying to stay away from the digital printing. It was Absolutely. A big no-no. But we kind of came at it the other way. So we went mail to digital printing and then found that there was a need for offset. And that's when we got into offset printing. But, you know, the technology continues to evolve. And at one point, digital printing was cooler because you could do customized mail and things like that, but it was still considered inferior. The quality mm-hmm. wasn't as right. great. The types of papers you could print on weren't as readily available. So, but you know, that technology has come a long way. And absolutely. So nowadays, you know, some of the digital printing machines that are out there can print just as fast, just as large, you know, just as economically as offset presses.
Right.
So we continue to invest in our business. In fact, we just installed a state-of-the-art new machine just about a month and a half ago, that is really going to change the way we do a lot of what we do. Right.
So when, you know, when you all talk about the scale of things that you can do when you're approaching a client, what's kind of the scale that you all fit into? What's your niche?
Yeah, so we are I would consider us a small to medium sized printer. Now, you know, we typically don't go after those million piece runs and things like that. But I think for us, from a volume standpoint, you know, anything from 100 pieces to 200,000 pieces is kind of our wheelhouse.
Got it.
And because we have offset equipment and digital equipment, we can really fit anywhere in between, you know, in that spectrum. So I'd say, you know, I mean, a good job for us is 20,000 pieces,
right,
something like that.
Right.
As I mentioned, the new equipment we bought. So traditionally, digital printing equipment kind of capped out at 13 by 19 inch mm-hmm. press sheet size. Mm-hmm. Our new machine will let us print a 23 by 29 inch sheet. So that's a real game changer in our business because, you know, people that want to do something a little different than just a typical postcard,
right,
or want to print a poster, but they don't want to run 1,000 of them. You
right.
know, we can do that on our new equipment now.
Sure. That, you know, a lot of scenarios in my world where I see that would be conventions and stuff where they want signage or they want posters around an event, but they don't necessarily, you know, they need 100, not 1,000.
That's right. That's right.
What are some of the biggest unknowns that cause you to have to work through difficulties with a client? Some of the things that the client usually doesn't know, but they need to know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, when a client sends a job to us to print, they think a button gets pushed and magically the job is done. And so, you know, we take time to get to know our clients. We take time to educate them on the process. You know, there's steps to what we do, and that's for their safety and ours. Like, we want to protect ourselves from making an error, and we want to deliver a good product to our clients. So we really do try to educate our clients on the complete process, and in doing so, it helps us also develop a good relationship with them. So that's something we've kind of prided ourselves on, is just getting to know the clients, you know, and help them understand what our capabilities are, and also being honest with them when they send us something that's not really in our wheelhouse. Right. A lot of times in those situations, we will either guide them on someone else that could mm-hmm. do whatever project they want to do. We'll try to figure it out, you know, sometimes and tell them that, hey, if we alter something a little bit, then we can make it happen. But at the end of the day, we owe it to our clients to be honest with them about what we're good at and what we're not
good
at.
Sure, sure, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I imagine has changed a lot is because it used to be a world of you had printers and then you had mailers, the fact that you all do both, you know, talk to me a little bit about how there's advantage for a company if they're able to print with someone who's then also able to do the mailing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the way it used to work is a printer printed the mail piece and then they delivered it to the mail house and then the mail house did the mailing. And so, but the client is dealing with obviously two sets of invoices and two points of contacts and on and on and on. So for us, you know, that's one of the big selling points is, look, once you email it to us, whether it's a print job or a mail job or a sign job or a label job or whatever it is, you have one point of contact. Our sales reps are trained to be able to sell everything that we offer.
Right.
And I didn't mention earlier, but we sell promotional products as well. So I think we live in such a fast-paced world where people want to submit something and move on to the next thing. And so that is one of our strategies, is like, let's make our customers' lives easier by having one touch point, and then how we do it internally is up to us.
Right.
But as far as the customer is concerned, they're dealing with one person, which, you know, goes a long way.
It does. So, you know, as we shift a little bit and talk about you personally, you know, what are some of the things that have really made it fundamental to you being successful as a business leader? You talk about, you know, when you started the business 22 years ago, you all weren't business leaders. You hadn't owned businesses before. What are some of the things you've learned along the way that have really made a difference for DirectFX being 22 years old?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things, but, you know, some of the key things, I think, is really being methodical about our approach to growth. And my partner Chris and I have really, we think differently about certain aspects of our business, but that has helped us because we kind of use each other as our checks and balances. You know, learning from mistakes obviously is important. You know, and then going back to the methodical growth, we've had opportunities where we could have probably doubled in size, but at the time we opted to pass on that business for the sake of being able to grow in a manageable way, you know, having the right equipment, having the correct amount of staff, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's important as a business owner to really understand where your limitations are, what your capabilities are, where your strengths are, and then grow based on that. So that really has helped us. The other big thing is, you know, not saying we never make mistakes, but when we make mistakes, and we preach this to our staff as well, that look, nobody's perfect. Things are gonna happen. We learn from them. You know, we don't ever play finger-pointing matches with our clients.
Right.
We fix the problem, and then we'll worry afterwards about what the issue was, how it happened, on
sure.
and on and on. So just learning from our mistakes has been pretty critical to I guess, controlled growth.
You know, as you think about that, one of the things that I imagine is probably true is that your set of strengths, Chris's set of strengths, are not exactly the same. You probably have some overlapping strengths, but you also have some differential strengths. How have you all learned to work as partners in a business where one person's strengths are different than another?
Yeah, I mean that, and you know, in the early days, we were kind of it. So we started as a two-man show. I mean, he and I moved from Nashville to Memphis to start our business. We sold during the day. We did production at night. We literally took shifts on who would go home and sleep for a couple hours. And, you know, we did the janitorial work and we did the accounting work and we did it all.
Right.
And with all that comes friction as well sometimes, you know, because he wants to do certain things a certain way. I want to do things a certain way. But I think as we've grown, some of those challenges have been overcome by like surrounding ourselves with the right team. So we have people in place that kind of are really good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's helped us kind of step away from the daily friction because we have people that are managing those things. And it's allowed us to focus on our strengths. You know, personally speaking, I really like selling, talking to people. Chris is more operations, looks at future technologies, things like that. So we've kind of, and we both sell and we both look at things together,
right.
But we both kind of bring a little bit something different to the table as well. Kind of pulling yourself out of day-to-day operations, I think helps you to be able to do that. So that's kind of been our secret sauce, I guess, is just kind of ejecting ourselves from just every nitty gritty little detail of mm-hmm. how the business runs. So.
Right. You know, as some people have put it, you've at some point you have to get out of running the business so you can work on the business, or working in the business so you can work on the business.
At the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, our mission has always been to bring more opportunities to our members and to our community. And this podcast is one of the many ways that we do just that. But we couldn't be able to do what we do without the support of our sponsor, Wisdom Integrators. They're the strategic tech partner that makes it possible for businesses to work smarter and not harder. Wisdom Integrators helps organizations harness that power of technology by designing tailored solutions for workflow, automation, process improvement, and digital transformation. For small businesses or large enterprises, they bridge the gap between the vision and the execution. Are you ready to scale up your efficiency and impact? Then you need to come and visit wisdomintegrators.net to schedule your consultation today.
As you examine kind of your all's trajectory, where do you see the future?
Well, you know, we continue to add different arms to what we do. So it's an ever-changing business. You know, obviously, when we first started, you know, one of the other big hurdles we had to overcome was email marketing. But, you know, I think for us now, we've kind of gotten past all that. We have a very steady customer base. You know, we have a great team of people that know what they're doing. And so I think for us, it's finding the right clients to help us grow. Obviously, now we have a lot more tools in our belt, so we can offer our customers, you know, a lot more than just, hey, your print job. You know, the label business for us, we see a lot of opportunity there. So leveraging some of our talents to go out and find more clients. But for us, I mean, just continue to keep diversifying, not just, you know, the different industries, but the types of clients and all that as well.
So talk to me a little bit more about the label side of things. What type of technology is this, and what type of labels are we talking about? Because obviously, you know, you have labels from everything from, you know, a print and shipping label to a packaging on a product. What's the area you all are focusing on?
Yeah, so we are doing flexo labels. So this is anything that's, so our primary markets are agricultural labels. Okay. So one of the big ones for us is watermelon labels. So we do a lot of produce labels, things like that. We do a lot of industrial labels. So, you know, labels that go on machines that are being assembled, things like that. And then other things as well. I mean, you know, pretty much any type of label. So we do like freeze pack labels. Okay. So we have special coatings we can put on our labels to prevent them from falling off when things get too hot or too cold or too wet or whatever it is. So we have different lamination technology, and we have die cutting capability, so they can be, you know, odd shaped. So we do orange, you know, orange labels and things like that. So it's a whole variety, but I would say picking two verticals would be agricultural and industrial labels are the two big ones.
When you all work inside the different regions that you're in and the different locations that you have, talk to me about how hiring happens there. You know, how do you find the right people? What do you target in finding the right people, both between personality skills, but then also, you know, getting people from maybe a point where they're not the right person yet, but mentoring them to that point.
Yeah, and hiring in the print space had been challenging for quite some time, especially during the pandemic. We had a lot of issues with staffing, you know. But I think the big thing we've been lucky with is that we have people that have been veterans in this business for a long time. So our pressmen, for example, have been running offset presses for 35, 40 years, right, and have seen it all and know the equipment and can break fix things for us and things like that. Finding the right balance between young and old also helps us, so that, you know, some of the younger folks that may not know as much about the equipment get to kind of shadow and work with folks that are journeymen or journeywomen in the industry. And then, you know, enabling people, really, you know, we try to like really focus on letting them learn one area really well before we start cross-training them on other areas. We want everyone to be cross-trained because it's important, just in case something happened that people can do more than just one thing. Right. But we allow them the opportunity to fully learn one area well before moving on to the next. And then, of course, you know, we have plant managers at all of our facilities who have also been in the business, been with us for a long time. And so we put a lot of trust in them to find the right people and, you know, go through the right steps of training and things like that.
So what I'm hearing a lot is it really matters to find the right people.
Absolutely.
the business lives or dies on the right people in the right places.
Well, and offset printing, for example, is in a way a dying type of printing. You know, right, finding young people that want to run offset presses is nearly impossible. Mm-hmm. And so, and going back to what we talked about earlier, the technological investments we continue to make, part of it is that we're playing a little bit of defense to protect ourselves, you know, so that we can continue the forward growth in new technology. So, you know, it's a balance because we still have that old equipment that we want to keep running, you know,
right,
we own it,
right,
and it's good equipment. But I think moving forward, we got to also prepare that we may not be able to find the next generation to come in and run some of that old equipment.
So, and finding the clients that fits what they're looking for. Talk to me just a little bit about, you know, you mentioned email. How does, you know, in the current landscape, how does digital marketing and print, you know, marketing and or communication, How do they marry together? How do they marry together in your business?
So I think they go hand in hand for sure. You know, one of the things that's different from direct mail 20 years ago to today is there's so much data available. So where someone would have mailed out 100,000 mail pieces in the past and just blasted zip codes, right? Mm-hmm. Now we can nail down within those zip codes people that are interested in the product that whomever's selling. So
right. So
utilizing that data is critical to getting better response rates. So where you may have mailed 100,000 mail pieces, now you may only mail 10,000 pieces.
Right.
But the audience should be much more targeted,
right,
thus yielding a higher response rate. So what we tell our clients all the time is, look, rather than doing 100,000 mail pieces, let's do 10,000 piece mailings.
Right.
So we're not trying to shoot ourselves in the foot and not print as much or not mail as much, but let's really hone in on who is the audience and specifically target them. So that's one big part of it. The other part of it is, you know, in addition to the actual mail piece, we have some technologies in place where we can do direct marketing, you know, where it's putting QR codes on mail pieces that take you to a landing page, or doing retargeting, or doing some geo-targeting. You know, you go to Dick's.com to look at a pair of shoes, and next thing you know, Dick's is following you around on weather.com and on Google and everywhere else you go. Well, that data can be captured, and we can also use that data to say, okay, well, this person showed interest in this pair of shoes. Let's send them a mail piece as a follow-up with a coupon code specifically for that mail piece. So with the digital technology we have, we can do those types of specific mailers to do follow-ups on some of the things that, you know, people may initially get interest on from the web. So it's kind of a back and forth technology that we're trying to utilize.
And I'm sure that's a continually moving target. It is. The web technology moves a lot faster.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up sometimes.
Yes. So when you look at, you know, one of the things you talked about is really focusing and refocusing again on DeSoto County and on this area. What are some of the prime opportunities in you mentioned agriculture, you mentioned industrial. What are some of the opportunities that exist here that are causing you all to look, you know, right in your own backyard again?
Well, I think we have done a poor job. We've been in DeSoto County since 2013, and I think we kind of took for granted. So the company we acquired in 2013 was a longstanding printer in DeSoto County. And so we kind of took that for granted with the relationships that were existing. And we really didn't get out there to get to know folks in the community. That's our fault. You know, we were in Memphis solely before that. So we focus a lot more of our energy in Memphis specifically. But there's a lot of great nonprofits in the area, which we do a lot of nonprofit work. There are some great business leaders in the area that should know who we are, and we hope we get to know them.
Right.
So I think one of the big initiatives for us is really, as you said, there is so much going on right here in our backyard. There's no reason for folks to be looking at other places to get print jobs done or mailings done. So one of our big pushes is let's get to know people. Let them get to know us, come to our facility, let them know we're here, if nothing
else,
you know? So that's the big thing for us, is just letting people know we're here.
Yeah. There's an old saying, people do business with people they know, like, and trust, but they never do business with people they've never heard of.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And so, you know, in regards to that, I know just recently the Chamber of Commerce got an opportunity to come and do a tour of your facilities and see those operations. And I think that's also a great way to utilize, you know, finding those connections is, you know, when people walk through and they see, oh, I had no idea that this existed right here in DeSoto County. I've always thought we needed to, you know, go outside or go to Memphis to get this type of operation. How has the Chamber played a part in your business over the years?
Yeah, now it's a great, I would say, a new growing relationship. We're getting to know the folks over here at the Chamber well, and they're getting to know us. I think it was eye-opening last week when we did the tour of our facility. Like I said, people didn't realize that there was a printing company of our size in the area. So when we did the tours, people's eyes were just wide open with awe that, oh my God, we didn't realize that you could do all this right here.
That's
again, that's partly our fault, and we are quickly fixing that by inviting folks to come in and, you know, visit with us, leveraging the relationship we have with the chamber and all the folks that are members of the chamber to, you know, come and see us and get to know us and get to know what all we can offer.
That's great. So as we close, you know, what are some last things that you would like to say to those who may be listening and thinking, you know what, maybe I should be doing business with DirectFX? How would you, you know, pitch anything to them as far as just the reason above everything else to come and work with y'all?
Yeah. So we are a relationship-based business. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we like to get to know our customers. We like to get to know their needs and never oversell. Ironically, we're in the marketing business. We have never really truly marketed ourselves. We've just grown word of mouth. And that happens only when you can form great, long-lasting relationships with people. So, you know, I would say that we deliver a great product. We take a lot of pride in what we do. We beat ourselves up when we screw up, which, you know, happens from time to time. But we always try to make it right. And we look for solutions for people. We look for ways to save money if we can save money. We'll offer suggestions, not always welcome, but we'll offer them anyway as alternate options on how to do something. At the end of the day, you know, we're not trying to do one job for somebody. We're trying to build a relationship so that anytime they think of print or mail or signage or labels, they come back to us. So
sure.
So that's kind of our goal, and it's always been our goal, is to just build those relationships in a strong way.
I wanted to loop back to one last thing as I was thinking about it. You know, one of the things that I think may be true for some people who've been in business for a long time is they probably think of printing in the form of, you know, if I use one color, I get this price. If I use two colors, it costs more. How has digital printing transformed pricing in printing?
Yeah, it's a great question. So obviously we are able to price things a lot more competitively because the way the technology works is whether you put one dot of ink on a press sheet or fully flooded with ink, essentially your cost is going to be the same.
Right.
So it allows us to really, going back to the look out for the customer and say, hey, you know, we can also do this and it's not really going to cost you much more. It might be a little bit more on the ink cost, but besides that, you know, the sheet of paper is still the sheet of paper and the press time is the press time. So, it's really allowed us to get in there and be more competitive with those folks that are running presses where each station prints a different color. So, definitely is a competitive advantage.
It's one of those things that, you know, a lot of times I still talk to people and they're like, well, are we going to print this in one color or four colors? And I'm like, why don't we talk about what's best for the communication? You know, what matters for what you're doing as opposed to just this, because the technology's really moved so far from the days of old. So, Kush, thank you so much for coming out and talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for really investing back into DeSoto County and into the relationships, because as businesses grow here, one of the things that, I talked with a politician years ago, and he said, Aaron, one of the things that matters in an economy, especially a local economy, is when businesses do businesses with someone else in that local economy, and then they do business with somebody else in the local economy, and the dollar that gets spent stays in that local economy. And so, you know, you continue to build value because the dollar keeps going from one business to another. It feeds and loops back around. And as that grows, you build an infrastructure that other people look at and go, I want to be a part of that. And so you attract business, you attract opportunity, which I think has been fundamental to South Haven's growth, to DeSoto County's growth in the last 15 years, is we've done really good at investing in ourselves and attracting growth from outside. So I love the fact that that's you know, prime on your all's list of things to do. Well, Kush, thank you so much. And thank you for joining us for another episode of South Haven Business Beat. We're thrilled to talk to DirectFX and be able to discuss what printing is doing here in DeSoto County and here throughout the region, and how businesses, farms, industrial are all leveraging print to make their business just that much better. Thank you and have a great day.
at the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, our mission has always been to create more opportunities for our members and community to share their story. And this podcast is just one of many ways that we do just that. But we couldn't make it happen without Pure Focus Media, the creative team behind the scenes helping make us and a lot of local businesses to look and sound their best. Pure Focus Media is on a mission to make high-quality video and content creation accessible to businesses of all sizes. From strategy to production, they help tell your story, attract more leads, and grow through the power of video. If you're ready to level up your brand, you need to visit purefocus.media and schedule your strategy call today.
Thank you for listening to this episode of South Haven Business Beat. Would you like to be a sponsor of South Haven Business Beat? Please email us, info@southhavenchamber.com. Be sure to share and subscribe for more business resources.